Canada border is open. Canadians can return to Canada. Visitors can come to Canada at our border points. There are some very, very small border points where there is, it's an automated border point where there's only cameras. Those are closed.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we listen back to the sounds of 9/11, the minutes and hours that followed, on WAMC. With the 20th anniversary of 9/11 here, Americans old enough to remember that horrible day are thinking back on the raw minutes and hours after the World Trade Center was attacked. Here at WAMC, we've been digging into our archives to remember a time of pain, confusion, and anger. Here is a sampling of how 9/11 and the hours that followed sounded on WAMC Northeast Public Radio.
You can't judge time in these circumstances, but I would have thought about 5 minutes later, perhaps less, who knows, there was a second explosion in the second tower, about halfway up the tower, so that the building was rent halfway up and smoke started billowing out. If there is speculation, and it must all be speculation from where I stand at the moment, at the foot of these towers, if there is speculation that it was an aircraft, people certainly said there was an aircraft as they filed past me later. If there's speculation about how many aircraft, there are two rents in two separate towers. It seems to me difficult to imagine that one aircraft could have done that, but I'm no engineer.
Even in the local commuter railroad at Metro North and many of the Metro North stations here, the Red Cross has been sending counselors to actually stand on the platforms and greet bewildered commuters who come off the train, who've been in the World Trade Center area, maybe have suffered from cuts and scratches of debris, maybe they've escaped the World Trade Center itself, and also to counsel people who are waiting at the train station for people who are never going to get off the train and offer instant words of advice and counseling, because there are just a lot of people here waiting, and it's a terrible thing, just waiting by the phone for that phone call.
The first impact drew people out into the street and the surrounding area. And the second impact, when that happened, everyone rushed away from the building because there was showering debris everywhere as far as where I got out, three blocks south.
Mr. Mayor, you were one of the first people down there. Can you describe the scene in your own words, what you saw down there?
I don't know that I'm really able to describe it. It was the most horrific scene I've ever seen in my whole life. We saw the World Trade Center in flames, a big gaping hole all the way on the top of it. We could see people jumping from the top of the building.
The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger.
And online at WAMC.org.
None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world.
What's next for our communities in the aftermath of the worst act of terrorism in history? Good morning. This is the Roundtable for Wednesday, September 12th, 2001. I'm Susan Arbetter.
And I'm Joe Donahue. Today we will bring you complete regional, national, and international coverage of the aftermath of the attacks. Throughout the morning we'll be taking your phone calls at 1-800-34-TALK-1 while we bring you a variety of experts on the issues of the day.
We'll start out today by welcoming a new editor to the program, Doug Clement of the Litchfield County Times. He'll fill us in on what's happening in that part of the region.
And a poll question of the day?
No specific question, Joe, but with the help of Tom Kelly, Professor Emeritus of History at Siena College, we invite you to call in and talk about yesterday's attacks.
Our phones will be open most of the morning as we invite a variety of experts to the program. 1-800-34-TALK-1. It's next on the Roundtable. And I suppose, Doug, that you're finding what we're finding here, which is that there's no shortage of stories that you can tell that illustrate the pain and anguish that so many people are going through.
No, I mean, it's, you know, as everybody has said, it's very surreal in a way. You hear these stories, accounts coming from people you know, and it's as if none of it's real, from some kind of horror movie or something. Mm-hmm. A local resident of ours, who we spoke to last night, you know, had been right there on the scene, as many people were, and it took him until 4:30 to get home.
These people, I think, had the feeling that They just needed to keep going. They couldn't let this act of terrorism affect the way that they were leading their lives.
So for folks who might be heading out to the airport now, probably not the best idea since the FAA has extended the flight ban that was due to end at noon today. It's been extended. When flights are resumed, what do folks need to know? What do they need to bring? What do they need to prepare themselves for when they head to the airport?
Well, I think the first thing is you should call the airline that you're scheduled to be on and make sure that your flight is going to be going out. As we heard, even if things were going to proceed as expected today, they were only going to get out maybe a quarter of the flights they were supposed to. In fact, when I was there, Southwest had already canceled a few flights. So call ahead, make sure that everything that's going to happen is supposed to happen. The second thing, bring two forms of identification and leave yourself a lot of time because they're probably going to go through your car. You're going to have to go through a couple security checkpoints. Just be patient.
There was some confusion as to whether the U.S.-Canada border had closed on Tuesday, but both Canadian and U.S. customs officials emphasized that the border never closed. Colette Gentes-Hahn is spokesperson for the Canada Customs and Revenue Agency.
The Canada border is open. Canadians can return to Canada. Visitors can come to Canada at our border points. There are some very, very small border points where it's an automated border point where there's only cameras. Those are closed because we're questioning every person. There's one great big bridge that's only open to commercial traffic and special camp pass holders. And Whirlpool in the Niagara, that bridge is closed. All of our other border points are open. We are on a heightened state of alert, and people can expect to be questioned. We are examining more luggage. We're examining more goods. We're examining more people.
Noel Induni, officer in charge at the St. Albans, Vermont INS office, says traffic has actually been lighter than normal at some crossings.
Traffic is flowing in a normal fashion. We obviously are very alert to all circumstances. We're paying particular attention to people passing through. We obviously will be working with very closely with U.S. Customs to be as secure as we can possibly be.
What should people expect when they do try to go to the border if they need to cross it?
Under normal circumstances, we try to do all primary inspections as quickly as possible. And I suspect that we may be asking a couple more questions on primary. For the average person, there shouldn't be much of a very noticeable difference. You may find that at a busy time when traffic backs up a little, that it'll take you a little longer to get through. But I would not expect any major changes because most of our changes would be in the secondary area and not the primary area.
U.S. Customs is checking everybody entering and leaving the U.S. Plattsburgh North Country Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Gary Douglas expects businesses and truckers facing even slower crossings will be patient in light of the circumstances. And Douglas does offer advice for travelers who plan to try to cross the border.
I would simply recommend that people keep in mind in terms of their travel plans that it may take a little longer at the border. There may be some longer lines, some more questions asked. Bring that documentation with you that maybe you haven't bothered to bring in the past because it's been very relaxed. If you have a passport, bring it with you. If you have your birth certificate, bring it with you. They can ask for those things. Normally they don't, but during a heightened period, it would be good to have good documentation with you and allow more time.
So why was there confusion as to whether the border had closed on Tuesday? The INS's Noel Induni says it was due to a pre-planned event at two northern crossings.
There was a totally unrelated set of circumstances going on, and that is that the Canadian Customs and, I believe, Canadian Immigration were putting on a job action at Highgate and Champlain. Basically, they had put out picket lines and were blocking traffic. Once they realized what had happened in New York City, it was very shortly after that it all stopped.
The time it takes to cross the border depends on the time of day and the port of entry. For WAMC News, I'm Pat Bradley.
We're now going to rejoin National Public Radio News' live continuing coverage of the aftermath of yesterday's terrorist attacks in Washington, D.C. and New York City. Just a reminder, coming up at 2 o'clock on our Vox Pop call-in program, we will have some local experts and the opportunity for you to phone in and voice your opinion, ask some questions of the experts.
We are going to go to the phone calls and begin with Lynn in Middlebury, Vermont. Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
Welcome.
I've been writing out what I wanted to say. I really appreciate your giving us citizens this opportunity to respond. I'm traumatized just like most of the rest of the nation right now. And I wanted to just read out this little statement that I've been writing here. We as a nation have more in common with the oppressive behavior of the Roman Empire than we do with the teachings of Jesus the Christ. This tragic event shows us it is imperative for us, including our government, that we allow to act in our name, that is to say that we allow our government to act in our name. We must live the beautiful philosophy of liberty and justice for all.
The region's Red Cross reports a tremendous response to its urgent call for blood donors in the wake of yesterday's terrorist attacks. The New York Penn region of the Red Cross collected 3,000 productive units of blood yesterday, or three times the usual amount. Spokeswoman Sybil Miller predicts that by the end of the day, the Red Cross will have collected a week's supply of blood in 48 hours. However, Miller cautions that the need for blood will be high for many weeks to come. Anyone interested in becoming a blood donor can call the Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. We now return to NPR's continuing coverage of yesterday's terrorist attacks on the United States with Linda Wertheimer, Robert Siegel, and Noah Adams.
Voices past and present on WAMC during the hours after the terror attacks on the World Trade Center 20 years ago. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.